happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to the 5-Day Reading Plan podcast. I'm Lance Ward, and each week we will review what we read together in the scriptures in the previous 5 days. And remember, you can download a PDF of this plan, a written copy of this plan, in the description of this podcast. Well, this last week we read Numbers 8 through 25, Colossians 1 through 4, started in Luke 1, and read Psalms 28 and 113. I want to start today just with a couple of comments on Luke chapter 1, and I'd like for us to note in Luke 1, verses 6 and 7, how Zechariah and Elizabeth are described, righteous before God, yet childless. To me, this is just another biblical reminder that personal pain is not always a consequence of personal sin. Sometimes righteous people go through hard and inexplicable pain, while unrighteous people seem to skate through life with few troubles. This is true in the stories of old as well as in our present lives. I think we'll find this especially true throughout the New Testament. Some of God's most faithful followers suffer greatly as they walk in the footsteps of Christ and obey the Lord. We will find this especially true in the New Testament. Some of God's most faithful followers suffer greatly as they walk in the footsteps of Christ. But as we read last week in Hebrews 11, they do suffer, but with the assurance of future hope. Paul's words in Colossians 1 remind us what the apostles thought of the gospel. It was not just something they modeled, but it was a clear message. In other words, good news. I like to consider that in light of the popular modern saying, share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Folks, you can't share the gospel without words. Sure, we do need to model a spirit-filled life, but the entire New Testament makes one thing obvious. The gospel is not something we see, that's a result of the gospel, but it is a message we hear. There's a man named Paul Rees who said this, "The gospel is neither a discussion nor a debate. It is simply an announcement." Here are four examples of that just in the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6. "Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." 1:7 says, you learned this from Epaphras. Verse 23, it says, "not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven." And then in verse 28, Paul gives us sort of his mission. He says, "in him, in Christ, or him, we proclaim." I had a couple of things that weighed on my heart, kind of heavy this week. Maybe you did too, or maybe you've had weeks like that. Then along comes Psalm 28. I love the way sometimes God times these readings with what's going on in our lives. I love how Psalm 28 demonstrates how we can cry to the Lord for help and peace in distressing times. Sometimes, as I said, the timing of the Psalms is perfect, and I'm thankful for those times when I'm reading through Scripture and God's sovereign and gracious Word intersects with my circumstances. Sometimes I think about that and I think, I wonder if this was just part of His plan, and I don't even know it, that He said, you know what, I'm going to time that Psalm right here in Lance's life. I hope He does that with you as well. I was reading an author recently, speaking of that, who contrasted other ancient religious systems with that of Judaism. He noted that in other religions, you pay the gods, and they in turn do what you ask. In Israel, however, and in our Christian faith today, though, we don't pay God. We simply cry out to Him, and He delights to come to our rescue. We can do nothing to pay Him, for He owns everything. Like little children, though, we just cry out to Him, and He is thrilled to rescue us and to serve us. And that is some kind of God. The Lord's words in Numbers 14, verses 21 through 23 struck me and prompted me to pose one question. Can signs and wonders displayed by God guarantee faith in God? Here's what it says again. It says, "As I live, the Lord says, and as the whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory, none of the men who have seen my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tested me these 10 times and did not obey me will ever see the land I swore to give to their fathers. None of those who have despised me will see it." These people had seen works of God unlike anything you or I will ever see. And yet, they still didn't obey the Lord. When times got tough, they trusted in their own wisdom rather than in the God who could do anything. We will see the same thing in the gospel accounts, and this ought to be a sobering thought, huh? It takes more than a miracle to change a heart. So let us not depend on miracles. Let us not even depend on someone hitting rock bottom, as we often like to say, when it comes to a life changing. God must do a work in the heart for there to be change. The Spirit of God must be involved. And I just remember that so that my prayers are guided by that, because I know that a lot of us today, we have friends who don't know the Lord. We have family that doesn't know the Lord. When we pray for them, what do we pray? I often pray and I say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to say, but I trust that your power can break into this person's life and can cause them to see things differently. So I pray that you would. Miracles don't change hearts. Hard times don't always change hearts, but God always can change a heart. So remember that. You might even be thinking of someone in your life that you're praying for, and maybe you just stop at the end of this podcast and you just say, Lord, get on your knees. Say, Lord, just please create a heart change in this person. Help them to see things through a new lens. Number 16, also known as Korah's Rebellion, is an interesting study of unhealthy attitudes towards those God has called to shepherd his people. If you have led or managed people for any length of time, you might be able to relate in some way to how some Israelites perceived Moses. Perhaps you have felt what he did. A great responsibility like the one he had, leading the people out of Egypt into the wilderness, and yet a burden. Some of the people falsely accused Moses and Aaron of being power-hungry and out of line rather than the shepherds that were called by God to bear this great burden, a burden they would have gladly given away. Interestingly, even after witnessing the full display of God's wrath for such ungodly and negative behaviors in verses 31 through 35 of that chapter, many of the survivors still grumbled against Moses and Aaron, accusing them, not the Lord, of killing the other hard-hearted people. I think this goes well with the early chapters of Hebrews we read a few weeks ago, which speak of the hard-heartedness of Israel and how we should be careful that we don't ever move in such a direction. It's a sure path to spiritual decay and death. It also goes well, though, with the nature of leadership. When you bear the responsibility of others' lives, you are sure to face criticism that is sometimes an unfair misrepresentation of the truth. We will later in this study read the book of Jude, who makes reference to this man named Korah, reminding modern listeners that this kind of spirit can still poison the unity of God's people. So let this be a reminder for us. When we read a negative story like this, let this be a reminder for us to pray for our own spiritual leaders who carry heavy loads and often may hear unfair criticisms. Let's remember that in the way we view them, not allowing the spirit of Korah to take over our minds. Maybe even after this podcast is over, I've already asked you to pray for one thing. Maybe another thing is just to remember the shepherds in your church, the ones that are up front a lot, the ones that have borne the responsibility of shepherding the church. And remember to pray for them often, even when maybe you don't agree with them on everything, even when maybe sometimes things aren't going well. Continue to pray for those whom God has entrusted to care for you. One more quick note on Numbers. The bronze snake on a pole story in Numbers 21 not only serves as a prophecy of the Messiah to come, and Jesus directly refers to this in John 3, 14 and 15, but it's also a fitting preview of the gospel we now enjoy. You see, just as Israelite sinners' only hope for rescue from death was to look at the snake on the pole, so our only hope to be rescued from eternal death is to look at the man on the cross, look to him. Just as the snake on the pole was God's only provision for the salvation of snake-bitten Israelites, so also the man on the cross is God's only provision for the salvation of sin-bitten humanity. Notice, by the way, in this story, one thing that it's kind of subtle, but notice it with me, that God did not answer the prayer they prayed. What was the prayer they prayed? God, remove these poisonous snakes, but consider that would do no good for the people already bitten by these venomous snakes. So he did not answer their prayer directly. He actually provided a better solution, healing for the ones already bitten. What a great reminder that when it comes to our salvation, we don't do things our way, but God's way. And God's way is always sufficient and kind. His provision is more than enough. I hope, my friends, that when your life on earth ends, your theme song will not be, I did it my way, but I did it God's way. meditate on that this week. And I will see you again, or maybe you'll just hear me again, next Friday as we talk about Numbers 26 through 36, Deuteronomy 1 through 5, Luke 2 through 6, and Psalms 35 and 36. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next Friday. Thank you.